Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, wonderful to be with you on this late January day as we wake up still with a smile on our face from 37 hours ago when the Eagles advanced to Super Bowl 59. So, speaking of Super Bowl 59, I got to ask a question for a friend, which for me is code for I don't know something, but I'm just going to tell you I'm asking for a friend so I don't embarrass myself. Now, I want all three of you to weigh in one by one to assess what is the name of the town, or put another way, the pronunciation of the town that the Eagles are going to be playing this game in. James Seltzer, that town in Louisiana.
Yes.
With that big Superdome thing. What is the name of that town?
It's called New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yep. Rhea, what is it called?
New Orleans.
John, is that correct?
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's not New Orleans,
I don't
if that's
know.
What you're talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm asking.
It's New Orleans.
Nolens?
I don't know. I mean,
it's
New
Orleans.
If we're going to say it 5,000 times over the next 12 days, we might as well know what the hell you call the town.
I would like to know what, how do we
it's
find
New Orleans.
Out?
James, I don't know that you're right.
I feel very confident.
New Orleans.
And New
is
Orleans.
What you say.
New Orleans and New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Well, it's not
heard.
That. No, you hear it's New Orleans or New Orleans?
New Orleans.
I don't know.
New Orleans. I feel very confident.
I don't care how confident you feel.
Okay.
You're the one who asked me, buddy.
I did ask.
I think it's likely New Orleans.
Instead of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. If someone out there knows, let us know. Because might as well get it right if we're going to say it. For the next 12 days, next many years.
That's not like you, by the way, to
what?
Want to pronounce
Yeah, usually you'll just say
right.
it the way you want to say it. You don't
yeah.
care.
Well, I told you.
You can say people's names like it however you want.
I was asking for a friend. This wasn't my question.
Names.
It was my friend.
How close is this friend?
This is Fred's question. Fred asked me last night to pose this on WIP.
I
helped you out, buddy.
Okay, so at least according to the New Orleans Tourism Bureau,
yep.
it is pronounced New Orleans or New Orleans. But you cannot pronounce it Nolens or New Orleans.
Yeah, so that's not an
New
answer.
Orleans?
No, it's not New Orleans.
Not
is the point. It says not
well,
New Orleans.
Well, you just
Orleans.
Described two different things as
yes,
an answer.
Yes, it could say New Orleans, which is what I said.
That doesn't work.
Or New Orleans.
Nah.
Those are the two. According to New Orleans. I'm just telling you what the Tourism Bureau says.
Wow. I like that.
So I'm curious where you stand. What in the hell is the town called? All right, someone help me out here.
New Orleans.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street.
Called.
Angelo in Redding. What up, Angelo?
Yo, what's going on? How you doing?
Great, Angelo.
Pretty good.
Good, buddy.
Listen, man, I got a few things to say. First off is that we can't forget CJ and Isaiah Pacheco's beef. That's what I'm excited about.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Yep. I mean, that big hit that made Isaiah Pacheco get on the knee, it was tied up in the fourth quarter, 35-35. That was a big turning point in that game. I mean, they still ended up winning, but hey.
Well, it wasn't a turning point, but I'll say this. I thought both of those players played excellent in that Super Bowl.
Also, Juju Smith-Schuster is back on the Chiefs, and you remember all the spouting he did after the penalty and the whole, like, Valentine thing. He is a Chief. I'm just saying, he's back. He's on
brutal.
The team.
And he seems very cocky. When I was watching some of that AFC Championship game, the plays that he made, I don't know if you noticed,
I don't remember that.
Afterward, the flaunting, the flamboyance that he's it's disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah, he's that's one thing that I wanted to highlight. Number two, I'm fairly young. I'm only 28, so I feel like I can be young and dumb. And to be honest, I wish I had a camera all season, because there's so many instances where I could have been like, I told you so. Earlier, I heard you ask a dude if he was confident in September, October. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, yes, I was confident. I never lost this confidence, just because, like, that one catch that Saquon dropped in that Atlanta game, if you think about that, we're only going through the whole year losing one game, and I'm just, like, young and dumb, confident. Like, yeah, and I went into this game knowing we were going to stay.
I'm glad when you say young and dumb, your next comment is confident.
It is crazy, though, when you think about it, that with the two drops, like, they're two drops away from just the Tampa loss being their loss. Like, because they win both those games of Saquon and Devontae catch. It's crazy.
But, Angela, I think the flip side is how many close games they played that they won that were ugly for a while.
The N'Kobe interception.
Until they pulled it out. Yeah. Cleveland, Jacksonville, there were a bunch of them, man. All right, Angela, give me a great answer. Who got a second chance?
All right, I'm going to make you guess this one. Spent 27 years in prison and became a president.
Wow.
27 years in prison and
became
Mandela. Absolutely.
Got to be Nelson Mandela. Yeah.
Mandela.
That's a great answer.
That's
everybody.
Pretty good.
Mandela. That's a
that could win.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that it required a second chance.
I mean, it's
right?
Horrifying.
Yeah. So I'd say the heart of this a lot of times is someone failed the first time. Second chance to me, I think in terms of you failed. I wouldn't say a bad imprisonment is the person failed, but I get your point. Obviously, as a member of society where you were back integrated, you know, not behind bars, I get it there. But I wouldn't vote for it because I don't think it's the heart of a second chance. That's just my opinion. All right. Let's get to some audio. Brian Schottenheimer is getting his first chance as a head coach in Dallas. And yesterday, Ree, I hear your chuckle. I mean, this was a doozy.
A circus show.
All right, so Dallas had a press conference. You're going to hear from Stephen Jones. You're going to hear from Jerry Jones. Let's start with Stephen Jones. Now, when someone does the air quotes, like, I want to really emphasize something. It's hard to do on the radio, but I'll just say, if I want to take my fingers, finger one and two, and put him in air quotes. I'm really emphasizing this point. Well, he emphasizes in air quotes.
We're mocking it in a lot of cases.
Yeah, can
you know,
be.
You're being like, oh, this guy over here while you're doing
guy,
the air quotes.
Yeah. Tough guy. Right, all right. So Stephen Jones is going to air quote when he says, when he's talking about the quote and the drought. Listen, this is delusional from the Dallas Cowboys second in command, the son of Jerry Jones, and this is part of why the Eagles continue to reign over the Cowboys.
Obviously, we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, you know, in terms of, you know, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl.
This supposed drought,
say
John.
We're in.
This,
people say was when he
I
did
mean,
it, by the
right.
way. Like, people say
people
we're in a drought.
People say we're in a drought. Dude, you haven't made a conference title game this century. The Eagles have made 8.
For what it's worth, apparently Cowboys fans are furious about this,
good.
Which is awesome.
No, it's fun. I like that.
It was before Jalen Hurts was born.
That's wild. No, that
January 14th, 1996.
Wow.
They made the NFC Championship game January 14th, 1996.
That is before Brian Dawkins was an Eagle. Brian Dawkins joined the Eagles in April of 96. By the way, you know what's amazing? Dawk has not been an Eagle for 17 seasons.
That's amazing.
So this Cowboys drought is Dawk's entire tenure here and then 17 more years after that. That's a drought. So Stephen Jones sounds like a buffoon. Let's listen to his dad. Now, the only thing I'll say here about his dad is maybe he is getting old to the point where he shouldn't be talking publicly anymore.
Little senility setting in.
Yeah, it sounds like that is what is happening here. Here's Jerry.
Sad.
Yeah, it is a little sad. Here's Jerry. This is bizarre. This is Jerry Jones yesterday.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holds. Very low percentage.
He's talking about people's
reaction. Why is he saying that word?
So he's
again?
Yeah, I don't know. He's trying to speak to the reaction of Cowboys fans to the Brian Schottenheimer hire. And that was he goes to glory hole.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's,
but then again, who doesn't go to glory hole?
Well, you would think he wouldn't go to glory hole after his PR team
put out
the fire the last time he said. He was talking about that. Like, it really is incredible that this mistake would be made a second time.
Well, you used to say that Al Davis was, you know, by the end, he had kind of run amok.
Well, I saw only the sharp Mr. Davis.
Oh, I thought you saw where it was.
I didn't see the decline.
Anyway, this seems to be a decline, and I do think, and I don't, you know, I mean, I do think it's helping the Eagles. I'll just say that. Because the more important role than being the owner is he's the guy who picks the players.
Yesterday, he's sitting next to his new head coach saying it was the most, the biggest risk possible. I just took the biggest risk on this guy because he's never been a head coach before.
It was weird.
Look at the massive risk I took.
Yeah.
Well, that's not exactly like what you're supposed to do.
Not good.
You're supposed to vet these guys and hire the best one, not the riskiest one.
Very, very bizarre. Well, great to be with you. 2 days removed from the Eagles. Who changed? The Eagles got like rolling this year. After just a debacle of a collapse last year. Just a debacle. It's a hell of a bounce back, man. It's a great redemption story. It really is. And they are a team with unity. They are a team with resolve. And obviously, they are a team with great skill. Now, Kansas City's got a lot of that also. So it creates a hell of a Super Bowl matchup. Super Bowl 59, we look forward to it. We wonder if Brandon Graham will play in it. We will talk to Brandon Graham, who will be in studio with us in half an hour. Seltzer, I am going full.
I'm going
Tom Cruise mode here.
Because I love Spike. He didn't get enough out of him. Let's be honest.
Limited follow-up questions by asking. Not enough. Good first volley by Spike, but he didn't.
Yeah, it was a good first question.
He didn't. I'm digging in because, you know, I'm going into the mode.
You're Daniel Caffey today.
I'm going into it.
Getting to it.
It's intimidating.
we'll see.
What if he doesn't know?
He actually does not know. Yes. I think he knows.
I think it's likely he knows how he feels.
Yes.
He feels confident.
Yes.
But he doesn't know.
They do have to test it out. I agree with you.
I think tomorrow he gets in there and they do the final, we're going to do a little run through, see where you are exactly.
Well, it might not be final. John, this could go to next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's still a long way
to go.
He hasn't practiced yet.
It's a good question. John, do you remember when T.O. began practicing with you guys or did he not?
He was doing the underwater treadmill work from the get-go.
But do you remember if he practiced on the Friday before the Super Bowl? I have no recollection.
I'm sure that he did a lot of work. Maybe it was on the field. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe that was the taper time.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of what he did was unweighted underwater, you know, in chest deep or deeper water.
Because it took
like 90% of the weight off of that high ankle.
Wild. Well, look, we'll see what BG is ready to go to say, when he joins us in half an hour. Jaws in about 3 or 4 minutes. Let's listen to Sirianni in the locker room. This is not the most rousing speech. If I had to guess, they probably had plenty of other things that happened before this, and by the time they get to this, and probably had to bleep out a lot of stuff with curses. And so what you're going to hear is not the greatest speech and reaction, but it is part of what Nick Sirianni said to the guys in the locker room after they won the other day.
Awesome job. It came down to everything we talked about. Toughness, mental toughness, physical toughness, detail. Again, way to take care of it, way to come after it. We've been relentless with that. That's going to be the key next week, too. I promise you that. Right? And then together. Right? It took everybody. And really, that's what it's been like the whole time. Right? And it took everybody. Awesome job defense, awesome job offense, way to make plays, special teams. It was awesome. Not a lot much more to say. We got some unfinished business to handle.
You already know how we want it.
We're going to enjoy this. This is special. We've done a lot of special, like we talked about. But one more step, right? One more step.
Good stuff. Solid.
I feel like the whole team has been really good, and you would expect them to, but about the one more game, it's not over. And we remember with Doug, right? That we're not done yet. It feels like that again, and I appreciate hearing
it. I agree.
Everybody's taking like a real professional approach to it because they were there before.
That's a big part of it.
2 years ago. I mean, you look, that Washington defensive coordinator really put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, it was stupid.
With that comment that he made. He looked like the rookie guy in the, you know, in the big game. And the Eagles are acting like, you know, now we got to take care of business.
I agree. No, I like it all. All right, 215-592-9494. Jaws in just a moment with us. Scott and King of Prussia right now. What's going on, Scott?
Greetings, morning team.
Hi, Scott.
All right, so Eagles heading to NOLA. It's very likely that the offensive coordinator is likely secured head coaching job with New Orleans.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. It's the same thing as Gannon in the town that the game
might not
is
leave.
Right in.
Yeah, the game's in New Orleans.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Very likely.
And apparently it's him and McCarthy are like the two front runners.
Hopefully this Kellen Moore guy, if he takes the job down there, and God bless him if he does, hopefully he has the integrity to fly back with the Eagles on the team plane if he knows he's going to get the job, be here for a day or two, and then go accept with New Orleans on a Wednesday or something. I mean, that was really, because like Gannon, that was really low class, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that he did not fly back with the team. That's Urban Meyer kind of stuff. That's not cool.
If I remember, the people, like some of the reporters said, like he didn't talk to his players. After there was a lot of weird stuff going on.
Got it.
Listen, I never liked him.
Well, look, there was an investigation also.
Well, the players were spouting off about him too after. Yeah. Remember CJ GJ and
I
all
remember.
That? Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like there was a cover-up's not the word I want to say, but I'll say that the Eagles organization in the months that followed seemed Howie and Nick incredibly reluctant to comment on the record about it. Something was weird.
They really did.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were taking the high road.
I did too.
At the time.
I think it's tough because Nick is their friend.
I think they were really ticked. I agree with you, Rhea. I think Nick and Gannon having had been friends, whether that maintained or not, I don't know. But that got
like
very, very weird.
It
anyway,
did.
Scott, go ahead, man.
Acrimonious.
Sure. So I thought it was his best play calling game yet with the wrinkles that were put in that we haven't seen before, like the little shuffle passes to Goddard and stuff. Do you think it's possible, and you heard Jalen mention that they took the governor off. Now, Was the straitjacket, was the straitjacket held on by the team? Do you think that we could have been doing this all year is my question.
And in my opinion, the answer is no. But look, people are very split on this. Doesn't mean I'm right. A lot of people think I'm wrong. I think the Eagles run the ball a ton. You guys know my theory for two primary reasons. One, they're exceptional at it. And two, Jalen did struggle to a large extent in the passing game this year. I believe that. But a lot of people disagree with me. I mean, we can go round and round.
All right. Yeah, I agree. And then the second point I want to make is that Greg Olsen should have never lost his job to a pretty boy rookie first-time announcer.
Greg Olsen is so much better than Tom Brady
is
at talking about football.
Yes.
And it's a shame. It's a shame that it's not a meritocracy. It's Tom Brady is Tom Brady, so he gets what he wants. It's so broken.
It's irritating. All right, Scott, I got to get to Jaws here. Give me who or what got a second chance like the Eagles are getting against the Chiefs.
All right, so this guy died on a football field in front of many people.
DeMar.
And was revived. That's right, DeMar Hamlin.
DeMar Hamlin coming back from, actual death on a football field. That is an interesting answer. All right, let's talk to Ron Jaworski. Obviously, we love talking to Joe, especially when the Eagles are about to, to play in Super Bowl 59. We know how passionate Jaws is about the Eagles. And he joins us right now. Jaws, good morning to you. And Jaws, congratulations to you, man. As an Eagle alum, I know this is very special for you.
Oh, there is no doubt. First of all, good morning, or maybe I should say very good morning as we talk Super Bowl. And certainly as a former NFL player, a former Eagle player for 10 years, is a great, great feeling and a great, great vibe about this team and the excitement of going back to New Orleans, because where we lost in Super Bowl 15, so maybe a little retribution and a good feeling out of this one.
Yeah, I thought about that earlier. So, Josh, let's talk about this team, then we'll broaden it out. We were talking earlier in the program sort of about, did you see it coming? And I said, well, yeah, in like November, sure. I mean, I thought there was going to be an Eagles-Lions showdown that to me felt 50-50. But obviously by November, there was a point where we realized the Eagles had true greatness. In March, in April, in May, after what had happened last December and January, an all-time collapse, 1964 Phillies-esque, I did not see this coming. The resolve they have, the unity they have, and the talent they have on defense were three things I did not see coming. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I probably feel exactly the same way. I think after the 2-2 start, there was major concern. The team did not look like it was coming together. But they were not playing good football on either side of the football. I think there was an epiphany after that bye week for whatever reason, whatever Nick did and the coaching staff and Vic and Kellen, whatever they did, they kind of changed the direction they were going. You know, they turned into a running football team. I believe they realized what a gem that Howie had acquired in Saquon Barkley. They realized the strength of their team was their offensive line in the running game. The wide receivers were certainly tremendous. But you think of back to this point, this is a time where Jalen had thrown an interception, I believe it was 8 straight games going back to last season. So I think there was some concern. And the defense was coming together. Vic Fangio is just, I mean, he's the assistant coach of the year, in my opinion. He's done a phenomenal job. And he grew this defense. I mean, he developed it. He taught it how to play, but he grew the defense. And, you know, Howie obviously helped out with Quinion and Cooper and guys like that coming in. And Zach Bond, who to me has like been the story of the season for me. The guys played phenomenal against Washington again on Sunday. So I did not see this coming, but it certainly is. I'm going to relish and see the way it's going.
Jaws, how good a job did Kellen Moore do as a play caller, a play designer, and how concerned are you that he might not be here for next season?
Well, it seems right now that he looks like he's going to stay, but who knows what decisions some of these owners will make around the league. But certainly he is. Here's kind of how I felt about Kellen. I watched him in Dallas, how he ran his offense. I watched him with the Chargers, how he ran his offense. And it's a different offense here. And he was kind of a gimmick and gadget guy in those other two spots where he was a coordinator. But I think he's calmed down. Or not. Maybe it came from Nick. Maybe it came from Howie. Whoever made the decision that they're going to kind of change how they do things. It's not a very complicated offensive scheme to me. It's an execution style of offense. There's a lot of great talent. So use that talent to their best of their ability. And I think that's what Kellen has done. He knows what he has, and he knows how to use it. It's not very complicated. It's simple, and it works.
So who has the advantage, Steve Spagnuolo or Kellen? Maybe we're getting a little too far ahead.
No, I love this. I already gave. So let's get real about this. We all know that Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best defensive coordinators in the National Football League.
Yeah, he's one of ours, too.
Probably the best ever, right? I mean, best defensive coordinator ever, probably?
Well, I don't want to go.
Yeah, that's a little
ever,
big.
But pretty damn good. You know?
4-time Super Bowl winner.
Well, so is Bud Carson. I mean, Jaws,
you can throw a lot of guys out
there. But Jim Johnson was an incredible defensive coordinator who didn't have that opportunity.
He had to have on that last play against Buffalo Bills. And, John, you understand it. Come with a corner cat, a corner blitz in that situation. Pretty much, you know, 4th and 5 the whole season on the line.
Yeah.
It's a time when defense corners get a little bit leery. Well, let's play it safe. He brought the house. You know, brought that corner cat, got the pressure on Josh Allen. He had to throw the football in. That takes courage, and he has the kind of courage. Spags loves to blitz at the most inopportune times for an offense, and he's very successful. When he blitzes, he doesn't guess. He's got an idea of what he's doing.
He makes it so hard. I love the way that he devises these things. It makes an offense think. It puts the pressure on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't think that, it's the general consensus. It feels like the rest of the league is going in a different direction than that. They want to stay off and soft, and let's prevent these big plays. Spags is doing it differently.
Yeah, he is. Jaws, let's talk about Jalen. So he was so phenomenal 2 days ago. I mean, just unbelievable.
Best game he's played maybe since the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I agree. Here's my question, Jaws. Here's my question. Why? What did you see on the film? What do you make of the why that he was able to dial up such a great performance in that spot?
I don't want to diminish his performance, but the Commander's secondary stinks. They couldn't cover John Ritchie out of the backfield. it was not a very good secondary. They just got pounded. Our wide receivers are outstanding. I'm not saying we could play this kind of ball every week and he's going to throw for 300 yards, but you know, with this receiving core, the way the offensive line played, a healthy Dallas Goedert, I think that was a linchpin to me, the way Dallas Goedert played, and they had to respect Dallas Goedert in the middle of the football field. Mm. That opened up things on the outside. But I just think this team could almost pick and choose what they want to do. Do you want to die fast? That'll be through the passing game, or do you want to die slow and play, you know, rush 3 and rush 4 and play coverage? So this team can do it either way. They can knock you out of the box by throwing it or running it.
Jaws, how does Jalen Carter compare to Chris Jones? Chris Jones, their all-world defensive tackle who was all-pro, and then Jalen Carter, who was all-pro second team, probably just because he's so young. How do these two compare? How can they? I mean, they both dominate games. It feels like at will. Who's got the edge there?
They're both special football players. I think when you look at Carter, he's a little more powerful, where Jones uses a little more quickness, but they can both take over a game rushing the quarterback and stopping the run. I thought the defensive line probably had, against Washington, had one of their best games all season long as well. They contained the run. They pushed the pocket. Even Jordan Davis up the middle is pushing people up the middle. So
yeah.
That's always good when you get a pass rush out of him.
Yeah, I'll say.
But I think Jalen Carter and Chris Jones are going to be two interior linemen to watch. I don't know if you say watch the interior line, but those guys could determine the outcome of the game.
Ron Jaworski with us here as he is every Tuesday at this time. Jaws, let's talk about Super Bowl preparation. So obviously, you know, you guys had what you had in 80, and I know there's been a lot of talk that it was tight, and Vermeil has, you know, said that many times. You also know a lot of coaches and a lot of formulas that have won and a lot of formulas that have lost. Do you have a sense of what the best way, I mean, the Eagles have 12 days left. Do you have a sense of what the best way is to go about preparation that maximizes the chance for a team to win?
I wish I could say yes and I have a secret sauce or secret recipe. I've covered a lot of Super Bowls for ESPN and know a lot of coaches and players and guys that have played in the game. And there is no one way. You've got to be true to yourself. You know, and you mentioned Dick Vermeil. You know, we all took some heat after a Super Bowl loss, but you know, after we beat, after we won a championship game against Dallas, you know, we had a day off and we went to two-a-days. You know, but that's why
incredible.
We got to
the Super Bowl, that's unbelievable.
We're a hardworking, overachieving team, and people, you know, use that critically after we lost the game. So Dick Vermeil felt that's what we needed to do at that time to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, that didn't happen. So you have to be true to yourself. And Nick, if Nick comes in that locker room, you know, when they get to New Orleans.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating.
That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And changes his attitude, the team will read right through that. Mm-hmm. They will know he's a phony, doesn't know what he's doing, why are we changing things? He will be true to this football team. He'll be true to himself. And that's to me, that's the way to approach it. Don't change, because it ain't broke. Don't fix it.
I like that. Trust the coach to know what his team requires in the moment. Yeah, that's interesting.
Jazz, I hate to shed some negative light here.
Don't do that, John.
Yeah. I am a little worried about protection, pass protection, because of the flux we've got at the center position. You know, when you've got the guy who's making these calls and doing these things, I thought Landon Dickerson, thank you, Landon, for getting out there and doing that. But there were times where, you know, you could tell he wasn't used to playing center. He wasn't quite able to reach that guy. He wasn't able to, you know, swap that stunt off the way he should have. I don't know. I don't know what the protection will look like, but I do know Steve Spagnuolo is going to tear it down with his scheme. How concerned are you with the injury situation affecting the way we're able to pass protect?
Well, you always have to be concerned about injuries, and look what happened with the Commanders. You know, Sam Cosey's down, and they have all kinds of problems.
Yeah,
their pass protection, and you know, Jaden Daniels is running around like a crazy man because there was pressure up the middle, and there isn't a quarterback that I've ever seen that likes pressure up the middle. You can deal with pressure on the outside, left or right, but it's hard to do pressure up the middle, so there's a difference. And being honest with you guys, which I always am, I thought Juergens and Dickerson just had okay games. Now, hey, they're both banged up and everything else, and there's also a little bit of a fall off when you go to a backup and Steen came in and it wasn't the same. But it was still good, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the high level I'm used to watching this offensive line, particularly on the inside when a guy gets hurt.
Jaws, I'm a superstitious guy.
So am I.
Yeah, all right. So I vividly remember in late January of 2018, Eagles had reached the Super Bowl and landed. Team plane lands. And there on the NFL Network, as the players descend from that plane, is Ron Jaworski greeting every player one by one. Proud alum right there, ready to roll. Jaws, are you going to greet the team plane coming up in, you know, a week or so?
Well, first of all, Joe, it was like 16 below zero. And I had like these Eskimo hats with an eagle on them that the league and the Eagles had asked me to distribute them. When the American Airlines flight.
We need you, Jaws. We need you.
I have not been asked to give out hats, Joe, so I will leave it at that. I don't know why, but I have not been asked to give out those hats because probably we're going to be in New Orleans where it's going to be close to 70 degrees, so they won't need those. Mm-hmm.
Storm the barricade. Make it happen. That's my thing. All right, Jaws, one more thing.
I'm superstitious too, Joe.
No, totally. All right, one more thing. A lot of people may not know, but certainly many listening do. You have the party of parties Super Bowl week. I know a lot of people think Oscar after parties are like the party of the year. I think it's the Jaws Ditka cigar party.
It is great.
And you're going to have like half of Philadelphia there. Give us a little early taste. Who are we looking at the Jaws Ditka Super Bowl party?
Well, we don't have the Hollywood glitz, but we have a lot of football players and stars. And, of course, our phone's been ringing off the hook because the beneficiary of the cigar party that Ditka and I host along with Brian Urlacher is Gridiron Greats, which raises money for former players that have fallen on hard times, and the Jaws Youth Playbook, which helps at-risk kids in our community. So we've been doing it now, I think it's 14 years, sell it out every year. It's absolutely a phenomenal time, and it's always special when Philly's in the Super Bowl. So We won in Minnesota. We lost it in Arizona. Let's see if we can win it in New Orleans.
Love it. Jaws, my sister may be in town there, and she may or may not need a ticket, and I may or may not.
VIP. Any friend of yours is a VIP. Jaws, you know that. We take care of you guys.
Jaws, I was going to say I'll have my people talk to your people, but I guess you and I just made it happen.
To me, Joe.
All right. Jaws, just enjoy this, man. I know this is a big deal for you.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy
it. I get a big smile on my face as we talk about it.
Yeah, it's so cool. Jaws, have a wonderful day, and we really look forward to it. Next week, we will really, really break down the game with you as we get ready for the Eagles and Chiefs. Thanks, Jaws.
I will have the X's and O's for you next week.
Love it.
Thanks, Jaws.
All right, Jaws, stay well. And that really is a great party.
I got to attend the one when the Super Bowl was in New York.
Yep, I remember that.
I got to meet Lindsay Lohan, of all people.
Yeah, hey, listen.
It was a very eclectic celebrity crowd. I'm like, sure. Who's Lindsay Lohan?
It's mostly football people, but you do get a couple Hollywood types.
And
by the way, the football people, I mean, it is many Hall of Famers. Like many, 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 many Hall of Famers. And then, you know, a couple movie stars and stuff. It's pretty damn cool. All right, let's talk to a legend. Mr. Brandon Graham, of course, is here in studio. He's got that, let me make sure I get the right hat. Is that NFC Champions hat? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, Brandon, congratulations to you, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Hey.
God bless you, Brandon. Hey. It was what an accomplishment by the team.
I know you was happy. I know you
yes.
was happy. First person I thought about was you.
Dude, April 1st, I predicted it. I predicted it April 1st.
I don't think about it.
And then I said April Fool's Day. I don't really think so.
I know you did.
No, Brandon, listen, how does it feel to be, you know, God, you guys are back in the Super Bowl, man.
Man, I mean, I don't take this moment for granted. I'm enjoying the whole moment, as you can hear my voice.
Yeah.
I mean, man, just been screaming and yelling just because I just know how much we went through this year just to get there. We ain't going there just to go. We going there to win. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, man, we already there. Nah, man, boy, all that hard work, get here. Let's go. Now let's go take it.
So you really feel a difference compared to 57. The dip.
Well, 52?
Sorry.
Well, both of them. Well, how do they compare and contrast?
I'm thinking back to 57.
Yeah, 57.
Like
okay.
The one we lost.
Yep.
You know, that feeling, I can't imagine the guys who were there, that you're holding on to that. You know that's guiding this process to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, you learned by losing, right?
And you said a key thing right there. You learn. So now, going into this game, it's just more of like, we got to finish the game. Because we knew coming out, we was like, man, this is a big third quarter stop that we need to have, and it didn't happen. And so in that moment, I feel like the next time around, we're going to be ready for that moment. You know what I'm saying? And so it's so many different things that happened in that game. The field, if I got to do it over, I'm not talking about the field no more. Move on, y'all. It is what it is. The field is what it is. Let's go. Give your mind. Like, it's just so many things that I learned in that game that I was like, I'm not going to let eat us alive while we playing the game. It's like, whatever the conditions is, whatever it is that's going on, hey, flush it, next play. And so I think we do a good job of that already. But that's what kind of creeps up in those big moment games like that, because stuff going to happen. And as we know, this is the Super Bowl. Yeah, we know, but it's just another game. Once that ball is kicked and then it's a touchback and the offense, defense go down, man, it's game time. It ain't nothing nobody can do to save you from what's about to happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like you got to keep your mind focused. So I'm excited, man.
Wonderful.
We got a really good team.
Brandon, it's so good. You know, obviously, you know the deal. I mean, everyone's wondering if you're going to play. We're all rooting for it. Brandon, we have this thing called Seltzer. What's this called? Let me pull out my piece of paper here. Oh, yeah, the Twitter poll question of the day.
Ah, that's what it's called.
Let's see here. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin
Chevrolet.
What's
it about today? Is it a topical
something? John, here's the way I think of it. We could ask Brandon if he's going to play, but the thing about a poll question is there's only yes or no. So Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Chevrolet remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. I'm going to try, John. Here we go. Brandon Graham, today's Twitter poll question. Do you think that guy, Brandon Graham, is going to play in Super Bowl 59? A, yes. B, no. Notice there's no C. There's no we'll see. It's A, yes, and it's B, no. Brandon, what do you, all jokes aside, what do you think, man?
You know what I do? I scroll right past that question right there. There it is. Don't even jump in it.
I want the truth.
I know you do.
I want the truth.
So we all being patient right now. That's all I'm doing.
Is it all right? So it sounds like, tell me if any of this is wrong.
there is a real chance you could play, but you need to test it out and kind of see where things are. Is it fair to say you don't currently know if you will play, that it could go either way? Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way to put it. That's all it is. And so I'm just, you know, just being patient, seeing what's really going on. But I know for me, man, regardless, I'm excited just to be going to help the guys, man. Whatever my role is in this game, I'm going to make sure I maximize
it. Is it a matter of physical strength? Is it a matter, like, what are the checkpoints that a doc would say to the team, yes, we can trust that he'll be good enough to be ready to go? Is it getting the strength back? Like, what is the checkpoint you got to pass?
That's right now is just, coach, he just want to see what's going on. I don't really see my doc as much. I just be with the therapist and make sure that we working every day. And once I see him and we talk, he give me a real one, real one.
When you say you're working with a therapist every day, you're out there going through football specific type movements.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems
lifting weights, doing different movements with my, just see how it feels.
Yeah,
everything's been checking out. But
it sounds very encouraging
that you've been
doing movements that you will be doing in the game while rehabbing, and you haven't. I'm assuming you haven't suffered setbacks at this point.
I haven't had too many of those. It's just really what Doc says, and you know, just my chances, and that's all. And I'm happy just to even be in this conversation of Super Bowl. We ain't done with the season, but if I can help or help in another way, it's all good either way.
Good for you, man.
My mind was already done, but I was planning as far as working. Like I can come. So just know whatever happens, I'm excited regardless.
Well, we're so happy for you, Brandon. I mean, we're happy for the team. We're happy for you on a personal level that your team is back in it. And we're happy for you that you got a shot, you know, because let's be real. I mean, James, when Brandon got hurt back in, early December?
Oh, we thought it was over.
We thought you were done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We did. We thought that was it. And we also thought that might be it.
Yep. And I also, mean, like, we hoped, but we didn't know we would have this extra time to get to the big game,
right.
You know? Like,
and then Detroit getting clipped helped, and, you know, home field advantage and the
whole
thing.
You got 12 more days, Brandon, to get ready.
Hey, we working.
Good for you, man. All right, let's get some calls in here. BG in studio with us, 215-592-9494. We're going to get, coming up shortly here, to some audio of Jordan Mulata, excited, during Saquon Barkley's run to start the game the other day. It's cool audio of a giggly,
you
I
definitely
guess.
Want to hear this audio.
Mulata.
It's fun.
He's really happy as Saquon's bursting out there. So we'll get to that soon. Let's get to Jack in Doylestown right now. Jack, good morning. You're on with Brandon Graham, buddy.
Good morning. How are you doing, BG?
Good morning, man. Feeling good, baby. We in the Super Bowl.
Looking forward to seeing you play again, hopefully.
Yes, sir.
On my way down to Florida, went to the game Sunday, and I just crossed over to the Florida line. I'm heading down to Fort Lauderdale. Being a snowbird, but I have a big question for, I guess, all you guys. Eagles seem to have gone old school with the running game. I'm wondering why they don't put Jalen under center more often and really rely on the play action pass a lot more, because they seem to do it this year. It seems to be working really, really well.
Yeah, so
why are
I'd
we
say
not-
so. I mean, I think, didn't we start the last game under center, play action?
He switched to it, yeah.
Right out of, yeah.
I believe so.
Right out the gates.
Jack, I'll answer the question this way. I think there's two primary reasons they don't do it a ton. One, I think Jalen is very used to the shotgun and comfortable with it. So I think that's the primary reason.
Well, I think that is it.
Yeah, Jack. I think that's the primary.
The offensive coordinator is asking him constantly, what do you like this week? What do you like here? What do you like in this situation?
Sure.
And if his answer is always, well, I like this play with this route combination when I'm in shotgun and the back's offset, because I like the options that gives me in terms of getting to this versus man, getting to this versus zone. It sounds like it's just a comfortability thing.
Well, so Jack, I'll give you, I think comfortability is the main thing and he's most familiar with it, but I think there's a second critical point here. So I'm pretty damn sure I'm right about this. I think it's a lot easier, and Brandon, tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's a lot easier for a quarterback to run, and Jalen's running is a huge threat, to run from shotgun than to run from play action pass, where you're under center, you put the ball in the belly of the back, now you drop back. Now, sure, you can hit A.J. Brown down the field,
but you kind of lose, like you have to bootleg it out.
Well, you lose sight.
You lose time, you lose sight, you got to spin around. Like, you know, when Jalen Hurts runs, other than the plays where it's traditional passing plays, and he runs because it's a scramble on a play that takes time and he starts moving. I mean, the design runs, you got to hit it fast. And that's why I think shotgun lends itself to that. I think that's the theory. Jack, give me an answer here, my man. Obviously, the Eagles got a second chance against Kansas City. Who or what also got a second chance?
This guy's a triple burger. He resurrected his career multiple times. Richard Nixon.
Yeah, Richard Nixon. Well, certainly for president he did, because he ran in 60 and barely lost, and then won in 68 for sure. 215-592-9494. Is that a fair assessment, Brandon, the way I framed that, that it's easier to run from shotgun than play action, right?
It is. I mean, the vision of, you know, is always the factor. And then you got to be comfortable in whatever you're trying to run it.
And think about how uncomfortable that would be. Just think for a second.
That makes sense.
You're the quarterback. You got BG coming off one of the edges.
Right.
And you're going to start under center. You're turning your back on that defense while you're, you know, faking the stretch.
You can turn your back to pass, but not to run.
The aiming point of the back is the outside cheek of the tackle. Mm-hmm. So you're running to try to, you know, cut him off.
Can I ask you a question?
At the pass.
Did you just reference either Jordan Mulata or Lane Johnson's ass cheek?
Yes.
Like one cheek, not two.
The outside
Which
cheek.
One were you thinking about, Mulata's or Lane's?
I was thinking about Lane's because I was thinking it was going to the right.
This guy, Brandon, is good stuff. All right,
Lane's
let's listen,
right cheek.
Let's listen to Jordan Mulata. Speaking of one of the tackles, so Mulata was really excited. We all were, obviously, a Saquon burst out there on play one, and what a run. You'll hear Jordan Mulata's excitement as Saquon got going. Just listen to the laughs and the joy in Jordan Mulata's voice. So good. So good. So, Brandon, three of us here, James, Ree, and I, we don't know what that feels like. We, you know, we hear that and we enjoy that. You know, we get behind the curtain. You and John know what it's like when you celebrate with your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something happens cool in the field. I mean, the great moments, something like that. It's got to be so special for you.
Man, you know what? It's that moment of, like, excitement where you want to cry. Because it's like, man, all this work is happening. Just hearing Jordan right there, that's what it sounded like, something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? You just, the work that you got to put in every day. I mean, you know what you got to put in on this stage.
No, this is nothing compared to you guys,
but
man.
I'm saying the behind-the-scenes stuff y'all do, I mean, people don't know. Like, you never knock nobody's job until you do it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Stuff like that, you know? But just the hard work paying off, that's that moment right there. Like,
yeah.
Saquon, I'm happy you came here because I know football wasn't as fun for you, and I'm glad that you can get that back and we can help you.
So you're gonna play in Super Bowl 59?
Hey, look at you.
Well, I like what you did there. Just sliding that in. Clever.
See, I had that prepared. That was part of the preparation process. Come back to it 3, 4, 5 times. Break them down. Now we're
that
open.
Feeling makes you realize what it means when you hear about women lifting like a car off their baby. Like that adrenaline rush that they must have had. Like, I feel like I got that. I feel like I got that from you and the stands, from the link, from the focus, from the vibe, from the feel that everyone gives this team. Like you grant the team the power to do these things, and it really does just it gives you more strength, more
awesome, love
roar,
it, man.
Ability, the roar of the crowd, for
yes,
sure. Yes,
the
it
roar,
does. The roar of the crowd
augments you.
Well, there was a player. I think it was Mahomes or Josh Allen. One of the guys scored a touchdown the other day. Maybe it wasn't one of them. And you could tell he knew from the crowd it wasn't a touchdown. It was whoever the home team was. There was a penalty.
What happened in the Eagles game, wasn't it?
Maybe I'm thinking of that. Was it Hurts?
I think it was Hurts. Hurts scored the touchdown. It was the rushing touchdown. And he scored and he like turned around and he knew that it was coming. It was a holding
Because there was
call.
No roar.
Yeah, anyway. It was Landon Dickerson. A hold on Dickerson.
Okay, got it. All right, let's go back to the phones as we get ready for Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 59 in 12 days. Brandon Graham with us right now. Let's talk to Matt in South Philadelphia. Matthew, good morning, pal.
Hey, good morning to the best show on radio.
Thanks.
Well,
man.
You're very kind. Appreciate you. Thank you, pal.
Good. Brandon, I'm going to say this to you. You better come back and get that second ring.
Hey, man, we working,
you
baby.
You play to lock up that win for us. We need your presence on the field badly. So I'm
maybe another key strip sack. No big deal.
Maybe.
You know?
That would
maybe
be optimal.
How about,
yeah.
Hey, Matt, how about this fact real quick? No Philadelphia athlete. And you and Lane and
Rick Lovato and Jake
Elliott have a shot. No Philadelphia athlete with two rings here since the Flyers of the mid-70s.
It's crazy.
50 years, guys.
Yeah, it's crazy.
50 years. Doc won one, Schmidt won one.
That's amazing. That's pretty wild.
Moses won one.
That's about to
Cole Hamels won one. Like, you got a shot for two, Brandon. Anyway, Matt, I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
All good. So back on like the New Orleans thing, everybody's asking how to say it. This is the way I would think to say it.
Yep.
If you're in New Orleans, you say I'm in New Orleans. If you're going to New Orleans, you say I'm going to New Orleans.
That's I don't know.
How I look at it.
We're going to get Brandon's assessment here. Matt, give me a big-time answer. Who or what got a second chance?
Real quick, before I go, I just got two things to ask. Please. I was on hold an hour.
Sure, go for it.
If we do not win this Super Bowl, are we the best team to not win?
I'm sorry, say it again. If they don't win the Super Bowl, what?
All right, if the Eagles do not win the Super Bowl this year, are we the best team to not win a Super Bowl? I really
No. I'd say the Patriots in 07.
Yeah, they were undefeated.
Okay, true. Yeah. All right, second thing real quick. A slogan, since these Chiefs get all these flags and all these calls going their way, as everybody says that they do, right? We need to make it too big to rig. Too big to rig.
That's pretty good, actually. This is too big to rig, man.
I
can't
like
do
that
it.
A lot.
All right. I get it.
All right, and my second chance, second chance would be Andy Reid leaving the Eagles.
Yeah.
Headed to a new fresh start.
Not a winning answer today, buddy.
He did. He did.
Problem.
All right,
no
Mac.
Problem.
Excellent phone call, man.
Go Birds.
Call again when you can.
Man.
Go Birds. What a great call. 215-592-9494. By the way, time's yours. I don't know how this is possible, but Wechter tells me we're a little short on time's yours calls for today. I don't get it. Eagles made it Super Bowl 2 days ago. So if you get a chance, call the time's yours line with your excitement and anticipation for the game. Maybe you just want to stick it to me on the Hurts front. You know, if you want to... John, I'm sure that'll entice people to call. You know, tell me how wrong I was. Go for it. Time's
that,
yours
that has
line.
Been cathartic. But you know, I don't think that you have been skewered enough. And
well, that's
I
why I'm giving
I
people a chance
don't.
Here. I'm giving people a chance.
I welcome that. I welcome that. But I don't think you've been contrite enough.
Well,
like, I don't think that you've been. In any way,
Brandon's ready to pounce.
Apologetic.
I ain't gonna do nothing. I'm gonna let you. We let you have it last week.
But here's the times yours line number. Get some good calls in. 215-238-4500. 215-238-4500 for times yours. Let me present something to you, Brandon. You're the only player on the team that I personally know, and so you're the guy to present this to. You may remember when we were kids, NFL Super Bowl winning coaches used to be carried off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then for whatever reason, the tradition stopped. I have no idea why. I feel like it was late. I think Mike Holmgren in 96 might have been the last guy. I mean, I thought it was a great tradition. Coach wins, lift him up. He's the general. He's won the war. Lift him up. Carry him to center midfield. Lower him to shake the hand of the opposing coach who's the loser. I loved it. I am telling you, I think Nick deserves it. If you guys win, and I'm just encouraging you to consider it, man, because I think it would be a phenomenal visual, especially with how hard the town was on Nick.
Hey, man, let's go do it.
I don't know.
That's a good.
Right?
That's a good
is it the right thing, though?
Hell yeah,
it's the right thing.
Yes, absolutely, it's the right thing.
You think Nick wants lifted up?
Doug deserved it, and Nick deserves it. Deserves it. I mean, if you got
both of y'all, I'm just like,
I don't know,
like, y'all. Okay,
I don't know that.
Nah.
The coach always wants to be lifted.
Listen.
You know, like, that is...
Nick Sirianni, with all the crap he dealt with around here, doesn't on national TV with 300 million people... Is it 300 million around the world? We got 7 billion. Yeah, let's say 300 million are watching around the world. You think he doesn't want... For his high school buddies, his old girlfriends that dumped him, his kids, who he was ridiculed at the press conference, his parents, his high school football coach, Joe DeCamera, who was critical of him.
Yep.
You think he doesn't want the whole world to see him hoisted up?
Yes, it's possible.
And carried,
he doesn't want the whole world to see him
you're as wrong
up.
As wrong can be.
He's wrong on that one because Richie wants you too, probably. He wants to be like, I heard you too.
Yeah. Brandon, John said a lot more about Sirianni than I did.
I know, didn't Siri, for
a
real.
A lot more.
Do you think that he would? It just feels like he would be like deflected. Nah. Give it to the guys. I just feel like that way. Feel like he would be.
Did you see him get
Gatorade
poured on him? You see him the Gatorade? He didn't fight. He didn't fight that. If he would have fought that, then maybe I would agree. But he didn't fight that.
So, Brandon, here's what I'm thinking. The big guys: Jordan Davis, Mulata, Becton, couple of you guys, bigger dudes.
Oh yeah, that's gonna
just,
be
just spread the word to your teammates. That's my request.
It's gonna feel like a seat with him and Jordan together.
That's a good point.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.